It's so good to be with you today. I've really been blessed by this service. I don't know about you, but sometimes I come in feeling very cold. Cold, not just the weather. Cold towards God, cold towards sometimes you. That was meant to be a really heartwarming time, and I've just ruined it. But I really find sometimes that lasts for the whole service. Sometimes God really starts to lift that and give a warmth. And I've really felt that in this service. I don't know about you. And it's often times where we take communion and we're just reminded, God loves you. God loves you. He has given his son for you. The bread, the broken body of Christ, the blood of Christ that was spilled for us. And that makes us family with each other because we all have one Father through Jesus. And if there's really one thing I want you to take home today as we finish off this series on wisdom, is that we've been using this image of a path, haven't we? Of walking on a path. And today I want to call you, and God is calling you, to walk that path with him as your Father. He loves you, and when you walk with him as your Father, he will lead you on the paths of wisdom. So would you join me in prayer, just asking him to be with us in this time? Father, we praise you. We give you thanks for this time. We give you thanks for the music, the songs that we've been singing. We thank you for the time we've had to share the Lord's table and to pray to you. And we do ask, please do speak to us in this time. Amen. I need to apologize because I'm going to use a rugby illustration. And I know you're not going to believe this, but I was trying to find something else that could illustrate my point. And apparently rugby is the only thing in the world that can do it. But for those of you who are still suffering from yesterday, my heart is with you. I'm still mourning Wales's loss last week. The reason why I was thinking of rugby was I've been teaching some people the rules of rugby recently, especially some Americans, and yesterday a Norwegian friend. And as I've been doing that, it's reminded me a lot of this series that we're doing in Wisdom, because one of the things that you find when I found myself doing it a lot was as I was teaching people the rules, they would go, well, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Oh, well, he shouldn't have done that, really. I mean, he should have done this instead. And if I'm really into the game, I'd be like, pass it, no, what are you doing? I can't believe you didn't do that. And we shouting at the players on the field, it's so easy to do that as a spectator, isn't it? So easy to just look at the team and go, what is he doing? What are they doing? I never would have done that. Thinking, obviously, we know, if we just took a moment to think, that the actual professional players know far better than us. But when you're on the field and you have all these options and you have the pressure on you, it's actually really hard to make the right decisions. Really difficult. And that's so much like the Christian life, isn't it? As we're following Jesus, when we look at it, it's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, get up early every morning, read your Bible, pray, be at peace, go into the day, love everyone. I mean, even when bad things happen to you, just love. Do good. Obey the commandments of God. Do that until you die. And there's something about that, isn't there? There's like, oh yes, I mean, all those things are true. Very easy to say as a spectator. But when we get down to it, the nitty-gritties of our life, it's actually really difficult. Do you find that? Really difficult. So today, we're going to be looking at how can you take what you know and make it work in your life. How does that work? I mean, one of the things also with rugby is that they have so many voices, isn't it? You could do this, or there's options as you have the ball. You could have so many options available to you. So many people shouting on the sidelines. lots of voices. I think that's another reason why I find it very difficult to walk the Christian life. There's just so many voices, even within Christian circles, but let alone outside of those. Voices that sometimes are very convincing, but also my own heart is very torn. I have many different desires that are at war with one another. It's really difficult when we try to put things into practice. So that's a problem we all face. And in Proverbs, the solution in the book of Proverbs is listen to the voice of your father. You see that in verse? We're going to just be very quick in Proverbs today. Most of our time is going to be in Luke. But in chapter 4, this is the father speaking to his son, which is really how the Proverbs is structured in that way. The first 9 chapters, they're all instructions from the father to his son. And then the son, it's almost as though he goes out into the world in chapter 10 and faces all sorts of things, and then finds a wife in chapter 31. It's kind of the picture of a man's life. Chapter 4, this is what the father says: listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. So listen to my voice, the father is saying. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. Hold fast to it. Stay with it. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. So we need to, Proverbs is saying, look, son or daughter, you need to be hearing the voice of your parents. They will give you wise instruction. Hold fast to it. Stay on the path. Hear the voice and stay fast. Stay on that path. Now, of course, it's assuming wise and godly parents. And it's painting an ideal picture. For many of us, we will not have had that instruction. And that can be its own hardship to go through. And I want to acknowledge that from the offset. Which is why today I don't want to focus on earthly parents. That would be worthwhile. But I want to focus on your heavenly Father, who does not fail you. He's always there. And that's how we see Jesus embody this wise principle of listening to the Father and holding fast. We see Jesus do that throughout his life in Luke. So what we're going to look at today is, how did Jesus listen to his Father's voice and stay with it, stay on the course? And then, after having seen how Jesus did that through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to see also, how can we do it? How can we follow Jesus in that way? So there's kind of two parts to this. How did Jesus do this? How did he listen to his Father and stay on course? And then how can we do it also? So why don't you turn straight to Luke chapter 4. Not Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The first thing we're going to see about how Jesus did this was that he got his Father's direction from the story of Scripture. He got his Father's direction, heard his voice from the story of Scripture. Look then, it's such an interesting passage, isn't it? It's sad that I can't just go through all of it today, because we're going to move quite fast through Luke's Gospel. But let me read it to you from verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. It's hard to just imagine how that kind of thing happens, isn't it? But then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. It doesn't surprise us after last week, does it, when we saw how many questions Jesus asked. Verse 47, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Reminds you of Proverbs, doesn't it? The son in the house of his parents, listening. But the father that Jesus is listening to is no earthly father. Jesus did not have an earthly father biologically. It's his father in heaven. And Jesus says that, you know, I'm in my father's house, or another option to translate this would be about my father's business. There's no noun there in the Greek, so it's kind of it just has the article for us to fill in. And both house or about my father's business, both of those are options. What's key for you to see is, what is Jesus doing? He's searching for his father's voice in the scriptures. That's his focus. Jesus immersed himself in the Bible. He's always seeing everything through the lens of Scripture, constantly referring to it and referring to himself within the story of Scripture. And as he's doing that, there's clearly a pattern in his life. It's not just this event, but this would have been something that he gave himself to. He's growing in wisdom. What does it mean for Jesus to grow in wisdom? That's such a hard thing for us to get our heads around, isn't it? Because oftentimes when we think about Jesus, you know, knowing his identity as the Son of God incarnate, we think, surely, how could Jesus grow in wisdom? He's the wisdom of God. How does that happen? I think here, we need to be careful. Sometimes when we think of Jesus, we kind of fall into this way of thinking that he's kind of Superman. So, yeah, he appears to be human, but he's not. He's not really. He's the Son of God. You know, he's got all these powers that no other human being does. You know, Superman, he looks like a human, but he's not actually. He's a kryptonite. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus was not born into this world with some kind of like download of all the Bible in his mind that he was just speaking from birth. That's not the case. Jesus came and he was a baby, dependent on his mother. He grew up. The difference between Jesus and us is not that he's this kind of Superman who's not really human. It's that he's not born in sin. He's separated from that kind of Adamic race, not corrupted by sin, but he's pure in his heart. And he grows up and he gathers, seeks the knowledge that comes from the scriptures. And as he does that, it's not as though he goes from being unwise to wise. It's that his wisdom increases through the scriptures. And you see this throughout his life. His teachings are so wise. Actually, this week, our own Peter Williams, his book has come out, which is called The Genius of Jesus. It'd be well worth a 110-page book about the genius ways that Jesus taught through the Old Testament scriptures, bringing them in to his parables in ways that sometimes we can often miss. Well worth looking at that. He was soaked in the scriptures, and he often saw and would speak of himself as the center and fulfillment of the whole biblical story. Everything was pointing to him. And one of the ways you see this very early on in his ministry, even in chapter 4 of Luke, when he's being tempted by the devil, 3 times he quotes the scriptures to resist the devil's temptation. Or when he starts his ministry in chapter 4, verse 18 of Luke, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus saw himself as the center of the scriptures. For Jesus, were not just this kind of reference book telling him what to do. It was not just this kind of academic exercise. They were alive, and he interpreted his whole life through them and saw himself at the center of it. And in so doing, he heard the Father's voice. He saw the Father's grand plan and his place in it. That's the first thing I want to say to you. When you go to read scripture, have you made that practice, which we all know is a wise practice for Christians, have you made that practice an end goal in itself? Or is it, are you going to the scriptures to hear the Father's voice and to see yourself as part of his plan for the world? See, Jesus is the center of the scriptures. You're not the center of the scriptures. I'm sorry to break that to you. Sometimes I feel like I read it that way. But where Jesus saw himself at the center of the storyline, for us, what we need to do, rather, is to see the biblical storyline in our own lives. Start to interpret the events of our lives and the struggles and the circumstances that we are in, not according to the voices of the world around us, but to see it through Scripture. So helpful when we do that. Such a great practice. Start seeing the world in that way. There's one writer who put it really well. His name's Kevin Van Hooser, a really great theologian. And in his book called Hearers and Doers, he's investigating how do the scriptures operate in our lives and in the church. And he said that the goal of doctrine, which is teaching from the scriptures, the goal of doctrine is to help people understand the story of which they are a part, the drama of redemption, so well that they know what to say and do to correspond and continue in it, even though the cultural scenery has changed. The scriptures do not tell you, oh, this situation is going to happen, do this. That's not the way it works. It's more like the scriptures form you as a human being, so that when those situations come, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to interpret them. It's such a helpful practice, and it's the way Jesus used scripture. So some of the things I've been thinking of, when we suffer, it's so easy to interpret our sufferings as God forsaking us. He's left us. Where is he in this? But when we see the scriptures, when we know the storyline, we know that it's in suffering where we actually participate in the work of God that he's doing in Jesus. Our sufferings often are used by God for redemptive purposes that we cannot see in the moment. So we trust him through that. Our sufferings are part of the groaning of creation as we long for Jesus to return and to put the world to rights. Are you often finding yourself uncertain, unsure? I have no idea what I'm going to do next after this thing. Well, you have company, lots of company in the scriptures. That was Abraham, the father of our faith, who wandered around not knowing where he was going. But he trusted in the Lord, and that's what we need to do also. When we see that uncertainty is often the lot of God's people. It helps us to bear with that ourselves and to not become downcast. Are you privileged? Are you rich? Well, don't set your heart on those things. How often riches bring people down, but rather be like your Father in heaven, who has everything and is rich and is generous, constantly giving. When we start to see this, I could name so many things, but we won't have time to go into that. But what I'm trying to get you to see here, what Jesus did, is that he used Scripture to live, to hear his Father's voice, and to live in it. Go to Scripture that way. I find it really helpful. I've actually been doing this week because I've been thinking about it, is to think of my quiet times in the morning, not as just a time to read. I don't frame it as I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to hear my Father's voice. And the Bible is the means to doing that. So that's what we see first in Jesus. He listened to his Father's voice through the Scriptures, regularly doing that. Let us also commit ourselves to doing that. Another thing that he did, which is another practice of Jesus that we see throughout the Gospels, is that he spent time alone in prayer. He spent time alone in prayer. Luke seems to make a special big deal out of this in comparison to all the Gospels. And there's one passage in particular which I want to point you to. This is chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. So in verse 15 we read that there's news about Jesus is spreading all the more, so that crowds of people are coming to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. So Jesus' ministry has launched. One which has got many people coming. You could imagine how busy and how frantic Jesus is at that time and how important the work is. So important. But then verse 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That was a noteworthy practice of Jesus, was departing from all the noise, everything that's going on, all the work, taking himself away to a lonely place in order to pray, to be with his Father, to spend time in the Father's presence. See, Jesus gets his direction from the Scriptures, but we know it's not just enough to know how to know how one's life fits into the plan. One's heart also has to be engaged. And this is what we see with Jesus, is his will is constantly aligned with the Father's will. And this surely has such a great deal to do with that. His time that he spent in prayer with the Father on his own. I think this time of privacy, being on his own, is so important for us to recognize today. Yeah, I was speaking about the voices that we kind of hear all the time. Probably more than any other society in history, we do not have time on our own. Lots of voices from our phones. Just you walk down the street, hearing lots of things. TV, news, our own thoughts are filled all day long and week long with voices. Even when you're in your house on your own, you'll often have in your pocket something that could distract you. And if that's the case, it's really hard, isn't it? Even just with a friend or a partner, to have a conversation if you're constantly being distracted. The quality of that conversation is low. And I think for us, this is a really important practice for us to learn, is to set time apart just with you and your Father. And to let yourself hear his voice. It's almost like prayer Again, prayer shouldn't just be seen as like an end goal. Oh, now I've prayed. We spend time in prayer to hear the Father, to talk to the Father, to share our own hearts with him. Jesus spent lots of time doing that. It's throughout, this is repeated. There's times where he prays in chapter 6. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to list times where this happens. He prays in chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, before choosing his disciples. He prays all night, has a big decision to make. How am I going to choose these 12 leaders of my future people? And he prays to his Father and then makes that decision. Prays alone again. Twice in chapter 9 we find him praying on his own. In chapter 11 the disciples ask him, teach us to pray. And what does Jesus say? What's the first thing we are to pray? Our Father. Addressing God as our Father. I think one of the key things I want you to see is from chapter 22 of Luke. Chapter 22. I think we see here the heart of what wisdom is in this prayer from Jesus. Such an amazing moment in the life of Jesus. Chapter 22, verse 39 says that Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. Again, the regular practice of him going away. And his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. This is a moment where Jesus is seeing that the cross is close. He's known that the Son of Man will die and suffer many things. He's known this, but the time is drawing close, and Jesus does not desire this. He does not want this to happen. Oftentimes in our lives, the choices we have to make, sometimes we know that this is what God will have us do, and we will not want to do it. We will not want to do it. It's the wise thing to do, but it will feel like death and like loss. And Jesus shows us here what wisdom is by aligning through prayer, through time with his Father, aligning his will to the will of the Father. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. This is what I don't want this cup. Is there another way? Yet not my will, but yours be done. That really, I think, should be the goal of our prayer life. We're hearing the Father's voice through Scripture, but it's not enough to do that. Our desires need to be aligned with his. And I just think there's no other way that we're really going to do that unless we know the Father. Spending time with him, knowing that he is good, that he is trustworthy, that even if this next decision that I have to make for his sake is going to look really bad, and there's other voices telling me to go a different way, I know my Father and I can trust him. Those are two, listening to Father's voice in Scripture, Jesus did that often, and praying in private, Jesus did that often too. And both of these things, what I'm wanting you to see is that at the heart of both of them is a relationship with the Father. And this is what it's going to be for us also, if we're going to walk in wisdom, is to walk closely with the Father. And Jesus makes this possible for us. Jesus makes it possible for us. It's sometimes when we think of God as our Father, it can feel like, how can that be true for me? I could see how Jesus could say that. Jesus is the beloved Son of God who walked in perfect obedience. But my life is such a mess. How can I call the living God my Father? And because of that, we struggle to follow Jesus in these patterns of private prayer with God. We see more, God is our judge. God is our ruler. He's our maker. But my Father, one who loves me, one who cares for me, one who calls me his own, it's so hard. And I think that's, I don't know about you, is that often the reason why you find it hard to pray? There's many things, you know, many distractions in our lives which can make it hard to pray. But I wonder, is that the heart of it? Or is it because you just don't really want to pray to him? You're scared of being alone with God and what that will expose in you. It's very clear from Jesus' life, he did not have that kind of fear. He felt very confident in his identity as the Son of God. He went to his Father regularly, but how can we do that? If that's the key to Jesus' wisdom, how can we do that also? This is why it's so important for you to see that the whole purpose of what Jesus is doing by taking on this cup of suffering is that you too would have God as your Father. This is what he says at the end of Luke. It's the way it kind of all finishes off in chapter 24, verse 45. Jesus is with his disciples after having been raised from the dead. He's about to return to his Father, and he opens their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. 46, he reminds them of what he's been saying. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." What the Father had promised to send is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our adoption as sons of God that has been won for us on the cross. See, one of the things that kept us from God was our sins, against him and against each other. But now that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins, they have been removed. They are no longer in. When God looks at you, if you're a believer and you are in Jesus Christ, he does not see your sin at all. It's gone. It's been dealt with. It's been condemned on the cross of Christ. And therefore, Jesus can proclaim forgiveness of sins. There is no barrier between you and God. And therefore, he sends his Spirit out on you. The Spirit of adoption by which we cry, "Abba, Father." We have a welcome to go to God as our Father because of Jesus. He welcomes us. The door is always open for you. He's wanting you to come and spend time with him. To say, "Oh no, I'm going to put my phone away. I'm going to remove myself just for a little time to be with my Father because he loves me." And that door is always open. I think the key to growing in wisdom through reading scripture and private prayer is to see those as means of being with your loving Father. And as you do that, as you spend that time with him, your will starts to align with his. You start to hear his voice. You recognize his voice. And rather than being double-minded, rather than struggling, oh, there's lots of voices, I don't know what to hear, and frankly, I'd rather do this than do that, rather than being torn, as you grow in your relationship with the Father, you start to just want to follow his ways. You start to recognize his voice. There's a good friend of mine in Cardiff who's from Iran. His name is Ali, and he's the caretaker at my former church there. And he has been granted refugee status in the UK, and partly because after having come to faith in Iran in an amazing way, he was disowned by his parents. Very difficult thing that he goes through. I have never heard anyone speak with such a tender voice towards their father in prayer than I have with Ali. Such a lovely man. He constantly will be serving the staff at the church, just wanting to bring them teas. And every time he does it, he says, bless you, may God bless you. And whenever you pray with him, addresses the Father, not just at the beginning of the prayer, but constantly throughout. Had such a confidence in the Father's presence, despite what he had experienced, maybe because of it to some extent. That his own pain had caused him to really lean into his own Heavenly Father to receive that welcome. That's what God wants for you. That's what walking in wisdom looks like, walking with your Father. I just want to encourage you, maybe this is a time for you to maybe kind of refresh your practices in reading scripture and spending time with God in prayer. Think about how much time are you getting alone with God. I know for each of us, based on our context and what we're going through, whether you're a mother with a newborn child, that's going to look very different to if you're a new student or an undergrad, or you have a full-time job. You're going to have to work these out yourself. And it may be some of you will be able to give more time to that than others, and I'll let you guys, you can work that out. But it needs to happen on some level, doesn't it? This is so important to us. Do any of us have something more important to do than healing the sick? That's what Jesus was doing. And yet he would withdraw from that work to be with his Father alone. One thing I got advice once, and I wish I did it more, but when I practiced it a few years ago, it was so helpful, was every kind of 2 months or 3 months, I would set aside either a whole day or a whole morning, and I'd go on like a mountain kind of walk. It's hard to do that in Cambridge. Wales, that was very easy. Maybe go to Grantchester. Sorry, that's all I got. I just left my phone at home, if you can do that. And just to walk and to pray to my Father. And I'd finish it off at a pub with a good pub lunch and shepherd's pie. And it would just be such a refreshing time for me. It would reorientate me around the Father. Are you doing those kinds of things? Could you do that? The Father is calling you. Hear his voice. Receive his welcome through Jesus Christ. And go to him in prayer. And then we will begin to walk on the path of wisdom that he has laid out for us. Let's just spend some time in silence, addressing your Father now, and then I will pray. Father, we praise you for Jesus, the eternal Son of God who became a human being who showed us what wisdom looks like and has made it possible for us to call you Father. I pray, Lord, for your people here today that this week you'd really help them to set time aside to be with you. That they would know you're welcome to them. And that whatever they're going through, Lord, they would learn how to process that with you and to see it through your word. Please help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.